All right, if you'll open your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 22, please. Mike, can I have one of those just in case? Thank you, sir. 2 Chronicles 22. If you don't know where Chronicles is, someplace in the Old Testament. If you've never read Chronicles, join the club. But it isn't ever hard to find out if someone has tried to read Chronicles because they well remember the pain. All right, let's stand, please. This message, by the way, I have been working on this particular message for about 2 months. It's not going to be a special message. It's not meant to be. But if you have been alive and awake in the last 2 days, it's happened again. What happened in Australia yesterday? A mass shooting and a Hanukkah celebration of Irish people. It never ends. It never ends. And to think that we used to have a guy that sat right here in these pews that has said things to me about Jewish people via text. And by the way, you don't know, Kevin Bodder's read some of this. I told Kevin there's things I will read because I love to understand, but there is filth that I don't want to understand, hateful people that make Jews. In case you don't know, Jews aren't really the Jews. That's the first step. Well, tonight we're going to be talking about that in general. By the way, this won't have anything directly to do with you. If you're mad tonight at the end of this, it's because of your own problems. Because tonight we're just going to talk about a husband and a wife. I love this story, but I'm going to tell the whole story because you need to hear all parts of the story, including the parts that's kind of at the end that's not as pleasant. Okay? We don't have time to. The hardest part is, where do you start? Well, we're going to start in chapter 22 and verse 10. The king of Judah, Ahaziah, has been killed. He reigned a grand total of 1 year. He had married into the family, and his mother was of the family of Ahab, and beyond Ahab, Omri, which was the most wicked people in the north. So now you have the northern pagans marrying into somewhat believers, and it's a mess. Well, he lasted 1 year, Ahaziah. Verse 10. But when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the seed royal of the house of Judah. She's attempting to destroy the Davidic line. Now, this name is challenging. Jehoshabeath, the daughter of the king, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him from among the king's sons that were slain, and put him and his nurse in a bedchamber, or, you know, some kind of a bedroom someplace. So Jehoshabeath, the daughter of King Jehoram, so she comes back from a ways back, the wife of Jehoiada the priest, for she was a sister of Ahaziah, hid him from Athaliah so that she slew or murdered him not. And he was with them, hid in the house of God 6 years, and Athaliah reigned over the land. By the way, one of the most wicked kings, Jezebel, Athaliah, are the two queens, So what we're going to do tonight is I'm going to talk about saving Christmas. This is not a joke. It's not a trick. Because if she would have killed all the descendants of David, you don't have Christianity. You don't have anything that we are. Everything is gone. Kind of important. Let's pray tonight and we'll get started. Father, I thank you for this time. May this be a profitable night as we try to rehearse and look at and honor and remember and think about the people that you use. All of us in this room, as you know, without doing any kind of religion and without trying to be pious, I hope we want to contribute to the gospel and the furtherance of the gospel and your cause and causes here on earth. How do we do that? Help me to be able to share simple ideas, I ask, in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. If you look at your notes, I'm not going to do an introduction because I'm going to try to get done in 30 or so minutes. We are not looking strictly at Christmas, but to the line of Judah and David from which Christ, the Messiah, came. So what we're really looking at is that. You know, Christmas is going to be a part of this, obviously. Now, friends, everyone look at me. I wrote the next statement weeks ago. Did you hear me? And what happened again yesterday? What is the thing with murdering Jews? And from what I understand, I saw, I didn't read deeply. I think it might have been, isn't this special? A father and a son that did this. So you're a hater and you train your son to hate. Wonderful. I say this, the desire and attempt to destroy Israel or the Jews, and really the Messiah, has a rather long history and is ongoing. Can I hear an amen? It is just never ceases to amaze me, the hatred. Well, let's look at the story. The story is this, saving Christmas by saving the life of the king. They went to murder everybody. This was common in the pagan world. What you did when you got in power is, look at me, friends, you murdered everybody connected to the previous person. If you ever want to read horror, read about the Ottoman Empire. The leaders of the Ottoman Empire would have a large harem. When he died, they had a struggle for power. The normal process was whoever got to be the big boy killed every single one of his half-brothers, oftentimes their mothers, just murder them all. That's Athaliah. Sweet, isn't it? So when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the seed royal of the house of Judah. But one woman, Jehoshabeath, the daughter of the king, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him from among the king's sons that were slain, and put him and his nurse in a bedchamber. Now, there's a little bit of, I don't know if it was in the palace initially and then in the temple, I don't know. But what we do know is in the process, she was also connected. She was the wife of Jehoiada the priest, says in the text, for she was the sister of Ahaziah. She hid him from Athaliah so that she slew or murdered him not, verse 12. And he was with them hid in the house of God. So somewhere along the line, they got transferred to the house of God, to the temple in some room, some place to hide them, and Athaliah reigned over the land. So here is the summary or the flow of the story. You have the killing of Ahaziah. By the way, friend, if you read chapter 21 and chapter 22, you will be so depressed when you're done because these are terrible people. Terrible people. He had Athaliah for his counselor. He had the house of Omri or Ahab for his counselors. And God basically killed him through a various process. It's not important tonight for the sermon. His mom was Athaliah. Probably the King James says the daughter, and the Hebrew, by the way, says daughter, but she was not the daughter. So if that makes you nervous, it's only because you don't get language. We have to understand language. Son or daughter can mean simply a descendant of some variety. She was not the daughter. She would have had to been the granddaughter. Much like it says about Jesus, by the way, in Matthew 1:1, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, and I'm assuming you know he was not David's direct son, nor the son of Abraham, but he did descend from that line, directly from that line. So She was the granddaughter of Omri, which was one of the great, most wicked kings. Ahab, which was the son. I mean, it just, yeah, that kind of people. Well, next, Athaliah destroyed the royal family of Judah and of David, because you had to be both parts. You had to come from the tribe of Judah and the family of David, and that's what she first of all does. The first move is just kill everybody. She's attempting, of course, how do I say this? Did I skip something? Let's see. I didn't give you everything here. Ahaziah reigned a grand total of 1 year. Athaliah usurped the throne for 6 years. And Athaliah destroyed the royal family of Judah and David. I skipped a couple of those. I'm sorry. And she was attempting, and that's the best way to say it, she was attempting to replace the royal line, probably with herself and whoever was connected to her. So you would bring the pagan line from the north right down to the south is the idea. And just get rid of the whole Davidic thing. Enter Jehoshabeath. Found a grand total. Look at me, everybody. What's the title of this series? Minor characters, major impact. She's mentioned, are you ready? 3 times in the Bible. 2 of them are in this text. 1 of them is in Kings. Is she a minor character? Look at me. Are you a minor character? I've been teaching this now for how long? Yes, you are a minor character, and so am I. Once you understand that, then you can step back and actually do what God called you to do, with the exception of, whoa, we have something that happened here. Steve, are you messing around up there? Bowl burned out. Friends, let me say it again. Please look at me. You are a minor character. That doesn't mean you can't have major impact. Our problem is we look at ourselves and think, what can I do? Well, here was a woman. I don't know what, we don't know enough details to know all the communication, but here's a woman that saw somehow one of the children was overlooked. She grabs him up and, you know, steals him away. Wow, just a minor person mentioned twice here, once in the parallel passage in Kings. That's the person. So enter Jehoshabeath, found 3 times in the Bible. She's the sister of the dead king. And by the way, this goes back to Sunday school for all of you that were awake. Forgive me, I shouldn't say that. You were all awake. Sunday school really went well this morning on the whole. She was the sister of the dead king. So she was from what? I'm not as nice as you. She's from the same messy family. Yes? You say, Pastor Warren, you don't know my family. Can I tell you what? I don't care about your family. Hey, everybody, I don't care about your background or your family. God can do wonderful things regardless of your background and your family. And you say, her brother Ahaziah reigned a grand total of 1 year. Everything he did was evil and wrong. He was eventually killed indirectly by God. But out of that mess, one young lady rose up, didn't live like everybody else, didn't act like everybody else. She was going to rescue somebody. Yes, I believe God can do that with people. And can I say that? How many people do we have in our church that they're the only person saved in their family? Do you know? It's typical. God reaches into the messy mess and pulls people out. So I'll say that again. Enter Jehoshabeath, found 3 times in the Bible, sister of the dead king. So from the same messy family, she rescued Joash, which is really, really beautiful. She rescued Joash. She hid him and a nursemaid, I think for a while, probably in the palace someplace and later in the temple, but for a total of about 6 years, she rescued and hid them. And obviously, I say in your notes, obviously in great danger. What if Athaliah found this out? Would she be happy? No, Jehoshabeath would be dead, and the child, of course. So obviously in great danger, probably, it seems obvious to me, at her own expense, she had to take care of matters herself. less obvious. This is where the action of the whole story kind of comes together. Less obvious, she was a believer and a defender of God's chosen king, or if you prefer, lineage. That was important to both her and her husband, for there to be a Davidic king on the throne to keep God's promises alive and to always have a king of David. So she was a believer. Wait a minute. Look at me. Wait a minute. What was her brother? Not a believer. What was her mother? You say, Pastor, I have all these problems. Can I say this to you? We all come from different places. Some of us had the privilege of growing up in Christian homes. Can I say this to you? Most people did not have that privilege. Don't use your family as an escape. Don't use your family as, well, my, no. God raises people up, and out of this evil, a young lady comes. That's my last point here. From the messy mess of her family, God used her. The whole story bends on this. It starts with Jehoshabeath, her doing something that didn't seem to fit in the process to me. Everybody knows the name Christopher Hutchins. Atong, do you know the name Christopher Hutchins? I need to ask. Does that name mean anything? Christopher Hutchins was one of the most, he was considered one of the four horsemen of the apocalypse. There was a group of four guys. I think Dawkins was one of them, Hutchins and two other guys. Dawkins is one of the nastiest God haters in the world. Christopher Hutchins was brilliant. The last book he wrote, I believe it was called God Is Not Great. I read it. He hated everything about Christianity. He hated Christians. He hated Christianity. His whole life was himself and his drinking and his smoking and other things. This is the weird part. He had a brother. You don't have to trust me. He had a brother that's a believer. Can I say this, friend? Out of the same mess, you say, Pastor Warren, my family background is this or that or the other. God reaches into anything and can do beautiful things. And I will say this, having a good background doesn't promise anything. You can have a very good family and still be stupid or still go astray. Hutchins grew up not really in a Christian home, but his brother is a believer and very pronouncedly so and outspoken. Now, we never hear about him because Christopher Hutchins was much more interesting to the media. What's my point? Look at me, friend. Do you know your family? Do you know your background? God has, can I say this? If you understand you and I are minor characters in the big job, what job does God have for you to do? Do it. Don't use your family as an excuse. Realize God can call you out of a family. We'll read this quickly together. This is a passage that's worthy of spending a lot of time in, but we're not tonight. Paul writes to the church at Corinth. He says, for you see your calling. You know, you that have been called to faith, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Now, if you're wondering to know what called means, don't make it up as you go along. It's told you in the next verse. But God hath chosen, called, chosen, the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea or yes, and things which are not to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. I want to say this, friend. Everybody is from someplace. Not everybody has a perfect background in growing up and all of that. Some people in this room grew up around Christian parents, but I would doubt, with almost any exceptions, everything about anybody's family was perfect. Here's the bottom line. What's God want for you? Don't let family just realize God is not interested in, you know, I come with the highest pedigree. It's not interested in that. Whatever God has for you to do, why? Verse 29 tells us that no flesh should glory in his presence. Jehoshabeath is a trophy of God's grace to a woman, and she fleshed it out, and I love it. Just to verse 31. The other verse, these are all precious verses, but for time. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in your background, your family, your pedigree. No, let him glory in the Lord. I will say this quickly. Jehoshabeath also has a faith followed up by obedience. She actually obeyed scripture. We'll get to that more in point two. And she cemented all of this, her faith, in her marriage to Jehoiada, because he also was a believer and a follower. Beautiful story. This is where the story begins. Christmas, by saving the life of the king. Number two, saving Christmas by saving, you got to do more than a life. You actually have to have a king. So they saved the office. This happened about 6 or so years later. In the 7th year, Jehoiada strengthened himself and took captains of hundreds. And friends, there are a lot of names here, okay? And they're not Bill and Sam and Henry either. Azariah, the son of Jeroham, Ishmael, the son of Azariah, the son of Obed, whatever this poor guy's name, I can't say his name or the son of. Elishaphat, the son of Zikri. It says he brought them into a covenant with him. And they went about in Judah and gathered the Levites out of all the cities of Judah and the chief fathers of Israel, and they came to Jerusalem. And all the congregation, look at this, made a covenant with the king in the house of God. And he said unto them, behold, the king's son shall reign. And the Lord has, as the Lord has said of the sons of, verse 8. So the Levites and all of Judah did according to all the things that Jehoiada the priest had commanded, and took every man his men that were come in on the Sabbath with them that were to go out on the Sabbath. For Jehoiada the priest dismissed not the courses. Now, I wanted to talk about all the details, but we don't have time. Look at me, friends. All I want to talk about tonight is really four ideas. How do you save Christmas? You've got to save a person. A woman stood up. But you also got to save the office, because there has to be an actual king. And that was the husband's job, the priest, Jehoiada. He steps in. By the way, it's fascinating what he does, and it's interesting. But because of time, we won't be able to talk about it. Verse 11. Then they brought out the king's son and put upon him the crown and gave him the testimony and made him king. And Jehoiada and his sons anointed him. Remember, prophet, priest, and king are anointed. That's where Mashiach comes from. That the noun comes from the verb, and said, God save the king. And I think they were yelling. So the issue was a Davidic king of the tribe of Judah. First of all, Jehoiada waited. He had to really plan this out. Well, that's the second point. He also planned. He waited and planned everything appropriately. It's a very meticulous story, how he's waiting these years till the boy grows up a little bit, and still not a man, he grows up a little bit. So he waited, he planned, he strengthened, specifically he strengthened himself, and I'm guessing his position. Well, he also protected the young man. Now, I'm not going to read all those verses, but he takes one third with one place, one third another place, one third another place. He has it all guarded. So when Athaliah hears this, she can't kill him, is the idea. And it was all about the office of the king. Verse 3 says this, and all the congregation made a covenant with the king in the house of God. A covenant. They cut a covenant. And he said unto them, behold, the king's son shall reign, as the Lord has said of the sons of David. The whole idea was they're saving a man or a person, and they're saving the office. The king had to reign. Verse 11. Then they brought out the king's son and put upon him the crown and gave him the testimony and made him king. And Jehoiada and his sons anointed him and said, God save the king. Everyone look at me. I'm going to skip. When I was younger, I would spend half the night talking about what they did. Let me ask you, how do you think Athaliah was when she heard about this? She was a little upset, by the way, and she got killed. They eliminated her. But that's the story, friend, is a young couple. We don't know their age. We don't know if they had children. We don't know if they could. We know nothing about them other than one young lady from a messy family marries a guy, both believers, both defenders, listen, of the Davidic king. And Jesus is the son of Abraham, the son of David. That whole descent. One rescues him and hides him. The other one elevates his office. We'll go on now to the third part. Saving Christian, Christmas. Why do I keep saying Christian? Christmas, by saving the soul of the kingdom. Now we get to the hard part. Again, don't have a lot of time because I'm trying to make this in one bite. Verse 16 says, we're back to covenants again. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever made a covenant with God? Everybody look at me. Have you ever made a covenant with God? Today is December what? Either this Sunday or next Sunday. I don't know, second or third Sunday of December, 1977, I came to this church. Not mad at you, not mad at anybody. I'm stating facts. I was a young sailor. I graduated from school out in Bethesda, and I got to Great Lakes. This was 1978. It was not the worst year. 79 was the worst year. I drove into Great Lakes Naval Base. There were no guards in those days. Drove on the hospital side, drove right up to the barracks where I was to get out, walked into the barracks. And look at me, friends. I got checked in, took my stuff to my room, got somewhat unpacked, came back downstairs. This dates me. Brian, you've never done this in your whole life, and you never will. I went downstairs, and I looked for the yellow pages because I had to find a church. I found a church called Lake County Baptist Temple. I looked at the map, and I said, I'm going to church because I had made a covenant with God that I would not miss church 1 week because I saw a lot of sailors that were single. They would get a new duty station. They'd be out of church for 6 months. You'd see them 2 years down the road. They hadn't been in church. Their life was a mess. We all have friends like that. Whatever. Mike, you were here. I didn't know. I knew Mike. I met Mike early. I didn't know Pam was here or Jenny was here. Look at me, friends. The next morning, 12 inches of snow. That was my first Sunday here. This building was here, but not yet open. I drove in, and I couldn't figure out where to go to church. I'm driving around. There's snow in the parking lots. These were before the days of plowing much. I'm trying to find a place. I see an old couple going around the back of the building. You know who it was? The Lichtenbergers. They helped me in. Friends, if you don't learn to make covenants with God, you tend to drift along. Promises, that's what you have here. So they make another covenant, not just for this Davidic king. Now they're looking for the soul of the kingdom. That's Jehoiada. Read with me, please. Verse 16. Jehoiada made a covenant between him and between all the people and between the king that they should what? Be the Lord's people. Then all the people went to the house of Baal. And they broke it down and broke that. I'm making this more modern. Broke his altars and his images in pieces. And they hugged Matan, the priest of Baal, before the altars, because you know we love everybody equally. Verse 18, and Jehoiada appointed the offices of the house of the Lord by the hand of the priest and the Levites whom David had distributed in the house of the Lord to offer the burnt offerings of the Lord. But we're always obeying scripture. They got to restore the soul of the kingdom with Athaliah and the previous administration. The king was theirs. Everything got lost. The first thing they did was they made a covenant. We're God's people. We're going to follow God. Then they cleaned up the mess, or they attempted to. I was in verse 18. We'll go read verse 18 again. So Jehoiada appointed the offices of the house of the Lord by the hand of the priest, the Levites, whom David had distributed in the house of the Lord. So David had something to do with organizing temple worship to the offer the burnt offerings of the Lord. But here it is, as it is written in the law of Moses. So it's a back to the Bible. It's getting back to that relationship with God, making a covenant with God, obeying God, simply stated. goes on to say, with rejoicing and with singing, as it was ordained by David. And he set the porters at the gates of the house of the Lord, that none which was unclean in anything should enter in. Verse 20, and he took the captain of hundreds and the nobles and the governors of the people and the people of the land and brought down the king from the house of the Lord. And they came through the high gate into the king's house and set the king upon the throne of the kingdom. And all the people of the land rejoiced and the city was quiet. That's an interesting juxtaposition. They're rejoicing, but it's sobering to see things cleaned up. After they had slain Athaliah with the sword, saving Christmas. How? By really saving the person of the king, an individual, by saving the office, by saving the very soul of the kingdom. Jehoiada is trying to make a difference in your notes. Jehoiada, first of all, he made another covenant, specifically a covenant to be the Lord's people. He also, there was a removal of all the paganism. They burned it all down and they killed the priest. He then ordered worship according to the scripture. He didn't start some new programs. He ordered worship according to what God had laid down in the law and what David had established in the temple. He ordered everything biblically. He then elevating the king. He brought the king and put him on the throne and causing great rejoicing. All right, everyone, are you with me? By the way, I'm not trying to tell, I'm just telling a story. It starts with the death of all the Jewish children that were part of the royal line except one. Godly young lady that grew up in the messy mess rescues him. Her husband not only rescues him, he rescues the office, because you've got to have an office. And then at a certain point, they said, let's clean up the mess. Let's have a covenant. We're God's people. We are going to follow the Lord. We're going to order our worship according to the scripture. All of it's here. Now, do you know the rest of the story? My guess is most people do not. We're going to read the rest of the story because it's, by the way, welcome to reality, everybody. Welcome to reality. I call it number four, saving Christmas as long as he had influence. Jehoiada did what? He got old and was full of days when he died. By the way, I don't think many of us will make 130. 130, and by the way, this is very rare this late in biblical history. If you go back to Abraham's time, at this time, this is ancient beyond ancient. Remember, David died at 70. He couldn't even stay warm. He goes on to say, he was 130 years old when he died. God gave him a long life. Verse 16, and they buried him in the city of David among the kings because he had done good in Israel, both towards God and toward his house. I love that. Now, after the death of Jehoiada, came the princes of Judah and made obeisance to the king. I don't know what all this implies. Did they come and kiss his feet and grovel and tell him how handsome he was? I don't know. It says, then the king, and we still don't know anything exactly, the king hearkened or listened unto them. You still don't know exactly, then you keep reading. And they, the king and these leaders, left the house of God, of the Lord God of their fathers. What? What? They left the house of the Lord God of their fathers and served groves and idols, and wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem for their trespass. Yet he sent prophets to them to bring them again unto the Lord, and they testified against them, but they would not give ear. Verse 20, and the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada the priest, which stood above the people and said, thus saith God, why transgress you the commandment of the Lord? That you cannot prosper, because you have forsaken the Lord, he hath also forsaken you. Everybody? Everybody. This is Jehoiada's son. And what's the king do? By the way, we're hugging Baal people and killing other people. Yeah, that's pretty typical. Well, it says in verse 21, they conspired against him and stoned him with stones at the commandment of the what? What? They conspired against, am I reading this correctly? And stoned him with stones at the commandment of the king in the court of the house of the Lord. Thus Joash the king remembered not the kindness which Jehoiada his father had done to him, but slew his son. Now, friends, everyone look at me. I'm done for tonight. Here's what you need to hear. You, do you know who the you are? You're a minor person. So am I. That's fine. We can have major impact. Here's the major impact. In this case, a woman saved this young boy, hid him. Somewhere there was a transfer from probably the palace area to the temple. Jehoiada then steps in 6 years later, saves the office. And then, under God, he makes a covenant with the Lord's people. He cleans up the mess. He orders everything according to the scripture. I'm going to say this, and we're almost done. Everything I have done for 30 years in this church could be undone in 5 minutes. Look at me in the eyes. You know how I know this? Most people don't have convictions about anything. They follow along. You have a job to do. I don't know what all that job entails, but for me, I have a job to do. When you come to the end, they have saved the baby's life. They have saved the office. They have saved the soul of the kingdom. But they can only do that as long as they're alive. And when they're gone, we're going to close with a favorite verse of mine. By the way, are you listening to me? I'm not going to talk about myself at all in this because it's not important. Acts 13:36. For David, after that he had served, what? By the way, you can only serve and be your influence today. Parents, you have children. You got one round with them. Every bad thing you do on any direction will show up in your children in a heartbeat. I have children too. And yes, and I don't always like what my children have done. If I've done something wrong, I tell you what, I can suck it up and admit it. There has to come a time because you got one shot. You got one shot in marriage. You got one shot with children. You got one shot in the church. You don't have infinite opportunities. One woman, one man saved a young king. They saved the office. They saved the soul of the kingdom till he died. Can I say this? And David, after he had served, his own generation fell on sleep, was laid into his fathers, and saw corruption. That's your responsibility until your job is finished, whatever that job is. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this beautiful story. I'm not going to guilt anybody about anything. We all have a job to do. We have many jobs to do. And those jobs, the problem with most of us, probably all of us at times, is we feel like our job is small. Our job is insignificant. All I do is... No, our jobs are very significant. We cannot solve the problems of humanity. We will not stem the tide. This world will grow farther and farther from our Lord, but we can hold the tide maybe in our generation or in our area and in our family and in the people that we have influence. Help us to save Christmas, so to speak, as long as we have influence. That's what we're here to do. We ask in Christ's name. Amen.